Australia sent 50,000 defence personnel to Vietnam from 1962 to 1972, and to take a stand against the war could have landed you in prison. Conscientious objectors and non-compliers to conscription were also fined and ostracised for their stance. For some, it had a lifelong impact and may still be keenly felt today. University of Western Australia's Bobby Oliver has researched a lot of Australian war history. The latest book she's working on is about the effect on people when they objected to the Vietnam conflict and conscription. The Associate Professor is looking for your or your family's story, and she started by telling me about conscientious objectors during Vietnam.
It's interesting because it changed quite radically over time. In the previous wars that I've studied, most conscientious objectors belonged to one or other Christian denomination or sect. In the Vietnam War, early on, a number of the objectors were conscientious objectors with religious belief. So the people who objected to the act itself were non-compliers, so usually they didn't register. If they were called up for a medical, they didn't go, they didn't attend, and then they started actually writing to the Minister for Labour and National Service and saying, this is why I am not going to register.
Was it divisive to be a conscientious objector? Was it considered unpatriotic?
Well, as the war went on, attitudes changed, but for instance, in the late 60s, there was a Gallup poll that said 62% of Australians believed that we should be involved in the Vietnam War, but sending conscripts was always divisive. In fact, right from the beginning, the majority believed that conscripts should not be sent unless they wanted to go, and that when a regiment was sent that had national servicemen in it, that they should be left in Australia. So there was never a majority of people who actually supported sending conscripted soldiers to Vietnam. When Gough Whitlam's government got in December 1972, they released the prisoners, the objectors who were serving in prison, and they brought home the last of the troops eventually in 1973. The previous government, the McMahon government, had begun the process of winding down the number of troops in Vietnam.
Bobby Oliver, you touched just there on a point I want to go back to about conscientious objectors being in prison. Tell me more about what happened to people who officially objected.
The first objector who was imprisoned and who was a very high-profile objector was Bill White in Sydney, a teacher who was a conscientious objector. To be sent into the army, was sent to, first of all, to Victoria Barracks in Paddington and then to Holsworthy, which was a military correctional establishment. He then actually managed to get a legal ruling that he had a right to reapply for conscientious objection, and he did, and he was released. But others who were in either civil prisons or military establishments were not so well treated, and some of them suffered periods of solitary confinement. One particular case said that they wouldn't let him have a shower for a long time, and when he did, they gave him his dirty clothes to put back on. One guy was taken to Melbourne in a cage on the back of a truck when he was moved from one prison to another. There were some really grim stories came out of prison experience, and Michael Matteson, who was famous because he was actually on the run for about 2 years, when the first time he went into prison, he said that the conditions were so bad that later on he spent time actually campaigning for better conditions for prisoners.
So the ramifications could be quite extreme for some.
They could. What normally happened was, first of all, you were fined. You're fined for not appearing at a medical, not turning up for a medical or not turning up for a call-up. If they didn't pay the fine, then they got 7 days in prison. And then they brought in another section to the law that when they appeared in court having not attended a medical, they had to promise that next time they got a call-up, they would attend. And if they refused to do that, they were actually given 2 years in prison.
What about women as conscientious objectors?
You could object, you could demonstrate, you could get prison, put in prison or fine for sit-ins. There were people who were fined for selling leaflets on the street telling young men how to dodge national service, in other words, how to fail a medical, and that was, some people regarded that as treason, though nobody was actually sentenced to a sentence for treason, but some of them were fined, appeared in court and were fined. There were the Save Our Sons women who used to stand outside the recruiting barracks when the intake was going in with placards, all dressed up in their handbags and high heels and everything, and get laughed at, but they were peaceful demonstrators. They were not disorderly. There were huge, of course, once the moratorium campaign started going, there were thousands took to the streets. I think even here in Perth, there were 10,000 people took to the streets in one of the moratorium campaigns.
On ABC Radio, you're listening to Associate Professor Bobby Oliver from University of Western Australia, who's researching Australia's response to the Vietnam War through conscientious objectors and non-compliers. Bobby, why are you so interested in the stories of these people between 1965 and 1972?
Being a conscientious objector, or going underground like some of them did, was traumatic. It required a lot of courage to stand up and take that stand rather than just, apply for deferments like some students did. To be prepared to go to jail, especially when you'd been in jail and you knew what it was like. And I wondered how much that affected people's later lives. In fact, it's interesting that I had a survey. I've been sending people surveys, and a man sent this one in saying that he was actually ostracised at work afterwards. He was an objector who then had a medical and was failed his medical, so he didn't have to go to court. But he said his workmates used to sneer at him, that it was always mentioned when he went for promotion, and he believed it denied him promotion that he'd been a conscientious objector. And that reminds me of the attitude that, I grew up in the 50s, and the attitude was about people was, oh, he's a returned man or he's not a returned man. So people who didn't go to the war were looked down upon. It's a terrible attitude. I mean, war is one of the most divisive things. People go on about how communities pull together in war. They don't. They pull apart in war. There's those who went and those who were forced to go and those who didn't go. And that can reflect on people later in life.
UWA Associate Professor and Historian Bobby Oliver. About the ramifications for people who objected to the Vietnam War. She's working on a new book about the topic. If you were interested in telling your story, perhaps you or your family were conscientious objectors, non-compliers, you can get in contact with her. Her email address is Bobby, with an IE, bobby.oliver@uwa.edu.au.